Welcome to the MetPro Method Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and today I'm joined by two MetPro coaches, Brian Padilla and Kim Ampira. Thank you both so much for being here today. I want to talk about how there's different foods that get a good rap or a bad rap. So, is that okay with you guys to chat with that? Okay. I know that when it comes to things like carbs, you hear that gets a bad rap. You hear a lot of people say, oh, you should never eat carbs. Or they'll say, some people will say, you should eat a ton of protein. Other people will say, oh, you're eating way too much protein. And some people will even say, you should cut all fat out of your body, all your diet. You should not have any of that. But isn't the truth that we actually need all three, carbs and protein and fat?
Yeah, it certainly is. I think really the main thing is figuring out how much and which ones are the most effective, because different people have different needs depending on lifestyle.
That makes sense. So if we could just start with carbs, what are they and why do we need them? Kim?
Sure. It's an essential macronutrient. So along with proteins and fat, carbs are essential and we need them, especially for our metabolic health. So thinking about how our body works, it is our body's main energy source. So when we eliminate a full food group or macronutrient, then we can't expect our body to function at its best. And so that's the misconception a lot of people have with carbs, is that, oh, I'm fine without them. I don't need them. So they've gotten a bad rap for some time here. But what we do differently is we actually bring those in the right amounts and then help you improve your metabolism.
Okay. Now, is there a difference, and either one of you can answer this, between starch and carb and sugars? Are they all synonymous? Can you just use those words interchangeably?
Yeah, the quick answer is yes, right? Because carbs are essentially just a chain of sugar molecules. And just depending on what the food is determines the length of that molecule, right? But that's not necessarily how we as an industry or society really view that. So I guess a better way to answer your question would be simple carbohydrates versus complex carbohydrates. We've probably heard those terms before. Simple carbohydrates are digested much quicker. They're found in your fruits, your sweeteners, honey, sugar, syrup, and even. And then your complex carbs are longer chains of the sugar molecule, and then they're slower to digest. So those are more so in your grains and in your beans, your vegetables, some fruits, not all. But those are more sustained energy focused carbohydrates. Then you could put fiber as a third sort of subcategory to carbohydrates. Your body can't fully digest those. And so they do help with the GI health and keeping you full and satisfied as well.
And Kim, did you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, that's great. So basically we have two categories, right? We have our simple, we have our complex. And so when we think about carbs, we have to look at the entire package that it brings, not just because simple carbs like fruit are, we look at that, oh, is that just sugar? No, because of the package that comes with that food item. So looking at fruit as beneficial and more than just the grams of carbs they provide. So what nutrients are there? What benefits do they have? So there's phytonutrients, et cetera. So looking at that big picture, that package.
So do either of you feel like there are examples of what people consider a good or a bad carb? Like, so that you can break it down the way people generally have heard these things in their lives.
Yeah, like whole grains, I would say, versus sugar, sometimes even fruit. It really depends. There's been a lot of misconceptions with different diet types and cultures and things like that, where they've had misconceptions on what is even healthy versus unhealthy. So just looking at overall health versus healthy versus unhealthy, we're going to look at complex carbs as being a great option because they have less sugar molecules in them, which means lower on the glycemic index. And that overall is a good alternative when you are trying to save these weight or just be generally healthy overall. We do want to look at sugar, mainly added sugar versus the complex or naturally occurring sugars, because that is more of an added thing that we don't really need. And so looking at ingredient lists, making sure that the fruit sugars and then our package item doesn't have any added sugars on top of what's naturally occurring. can be helpful because we're just cutting out those unnecessary things and really just giving our body what it really does need.
Okay. Ryan, when you hear Kim say there's the complex versus the simple, and it sounds to me like both of you guys are saying there's really not a good or a bad. There's healthy versus unhealthy in certain situations. Are there perhaps guidelines that you should use for how many carbs a day you're eating or how much sugar a day that you're eating?
Yes. And for me, my putting on my coaching hat, I would have questions to answer your question. But just to, for our conversation's sake, I think it's good to note first, what you guys are discussing is also the quality of carbohydrates, right? Because healthy versus unhealthy, like Kim was alluding to, that depends on the demographic, on even religious practices and just the modality of exercise you do too, right? All these different lifestyles do impact the answers to those questions. So I think looking at the quality of carbohydrate does matter. But I think if someone generally was wanting to have an understanding of how many carbs should I eat, I think what I would recommend is if there's a number you have in mind, try to be consistent with that number while also choosing quality carbohydrates and start to see how you feel in terms of energy levels, blood sugar control. And even if you can start to get a sense of maybe how you're performing with exercise or just daily endeavors. And then from there, if you're feeling depleted, maybe it's adding a little bit more. Or if you feel like you're feeling good and you want to maybe improve your body composition, you could consider bringing that number down. So those would be some general rules that I think would be helpful.
Yeah. And I really like your point about it depends on the modality of exercise. I know you guys both know that I'm currently training for a marathon, but the amount of carbs that I am eating now is so different than the amount of carbs that I'm eating when I'm not training for a marathon. And so there are going to be a lot more pasta dinners. It's usually veggie pasta for me now, whereas in the past, it would have just been plain old white spaghetti. And that makes me feel better. And having things like oats in the morning makes me feel better. But it's not something that I would personally not need that amount if I were not running as many miles. And so whenever people ask these questions, I really appreciate your answers because it, I know that we joke around that we say it depends a lot, but it truly does depend on what your goals are, what your body type is, what your exercise you're doing. And I really think that's the goal of this entire episode, is to explain there's a lot of nuance here. It's not so cut and dried. It really does depend on your situation. And on that note, do either of you, we talk about the guidelines of how many carbs a day. Let's say a person is going to have, they're going to limit their amount of carbs to 30 grams at dinner. Can you just look at a wrapper and say, oh, this says it has 30 grams of carbs, so it's good to go? Or is there anything else I need to be looking at whenever I'm considering that food?
Yeah, I think it was. Go ahead, Kim, please.
The big nutritional package of what you're doing and what you're trying to do. And when, like you said, when you're training and what you're doing in your day. So like to match that energy that you would need. There is a time and place, like you said, for fast acting carbs around a workout, perhaps. And so looking at your meal, you can either have that. Is that your post-workout meal combined into lunch, right? So there is looking at those grams of carbs and seeing like, what do I need and when? So like sometimes for my runners, breakfast is half and fast acting and half slow digesting. And so there we go. We are, you know, making sure there is sometimes a balance in those 30 grams, maybe 15 and 15. And then are you getting ready for your, you know, race the next day? Are we going to look at different types of carbs at dinner time versus when you would normally just have a normal dinner outside of training? So time and place, different purposes that they serve. Fast acting carbs do have a time and place as well. So sometimes, yes, it is sugar, glucose, but around that training session, right?
Yeah. Anything you'd like to add to that, Ryan?
Kim did a great job. That's the direction I was heading. But at one point, I think that's worth noting too, is if you wanted like a really simple general rule, and again, this is the direction Kim was going, is yeah, structure more of your simple carbs around workouts, pre, during, post, right? Simple rule. And then try to largely put a lot of the complex carbs at the other spots of the day. That is a general rule that in most cases will work out in your favor for blood sugar, for energy, for hunger and performance.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And something that I'm not sure is completely obvious to every single person as we are farther and further removed from our food chain and how we get our food. But when you also look at a package, I think it's also important to note that carbohydrates include vegetables, and that is a very different kind of breakdown of food than you're been eating pasta. So I know you guys are talking the quick sugars, but the vegetables, they burn pretty quickly, but they're also a lot lighter. They're also going to take up a lot less room. So if you're looking at a package that has a bunch of veggies in it and it says it's all carbs, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. We just want to keep that in mind. That's going to be different. I just think it's not something that's obvious to people. So I like to make sure.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Carbs with your total carb count. And so reading the nutrition back label is super important.
Absolutely. Sure. All right. Anything else about carbs before we move on to protein? One of you guys tell us exactly what is a protein and why do we need proteins?
Yeah, I'll jump in there. Second of the third macronutrient. The best way to look at protein is just functionality. Its really biggest role is just the function of your health, right? So at some point in time, we may have heard that protein, it is digested and broken down into amino acids. And those are the things that help with tissue repair, producing hormones and enzyme health, and just to support a lot of general well-being functions with your body. So it has such significance due to the vast number of responsibilities it has.
Makes a lot of sense. Then I guess the next question is, Kim, if you want to take this one, well, are there good and bad proteins that people have labeled in their minds that we might want to be aware of?
Definitely. And it's along those lines of healthy versus unhealthy, right? Good versus better or best. So there's a time and place for some of these quicker, easier, packaged and more processed food type. But ideally we want full and minimally processed proteins. Found in nature, more likely you can get away with a lot of a variety of protein. So there's chicken, beef, eggs, Greek yogurt. So we have so many options that are animal-based. And then we have a lot of options that are plant-based. Protein is their amino acid blocks. And so we're really trying to just get a full range of these amino acids in our day. There's 9 essential amino acids, and you can really easily get those with your animal-based product because they always contain all 9. And then plant-based gets a little bit tricky sometimes. There are a few options like quinoa that have all 9, but most of the time you're going to have to do what we'd call complementary protein and then build those into your day. They don't have to be eaten all together at the same time, but as long as you're getting that full range through your day, you should be good to go.
Okay. And if you are a person who's focusing on plant-based, I know that this is a very complex question, but at a high level, besides just mixing and matching complementary, is there an easy way to know that I'm getting enough protein if I'm trying to eat plant-based?
That's a good question. Really good question. And I think in a general sense, like looking for signs that you're getting enough protein, if they were to throw a number out there, I think looking at 1 gram per half or 1 gram per kilogram of body weight is a really good way to start. That's probably much lower than a lot of people have just heard or been advised from their gym buddy, but it really is a practical way to introduce at least an awareness to your protein intake. And mainly because, Crystal, you're talking about vegan, vegetarian, plant-based focused, because it's incredibly hard to eat a large amount of protein without being like incredibly intentional. But starting with that will help people, especially in that format of plant-based focused eaters, to start to evaluate how they feel at a monitored protein intake.
Yeah, that's a great place to start. And when it comes to, we talked about carbs and like looking at the label and saying, okay, what is this 30 grams of carbs? But if you look at a label for protein, if it says 30 grams of protein, are there other aspects that I need to be thinking about in the same way that carbs are broken down? You've got your sugars, your starches, your fiber. Is there something similar for protein that people should be looking at as well?
When it comes to the healthy versus unhealthy, then yes, most of those types of items that are on the unhealthy side would be like deli meats, processed meats, sausage, hot dogs. Those in general are not going to fare well for your overall health. They're not going to bring a lot of nutrients to the table. That package that I've been talking about with like carbs have other nutrients that we're looking at, that full nutritional package, nutrient density. So the same actually applies for protein. So grass-fed meat, they'll have a higher proportion of healthy fat to them, fatty acids, and then they actually have vitamins in there, B vitamins and minerals. So we want to look at the whole nutritional package, but sometimes it doesn't really say it on a label. These are kind of things that you just have to learn over time or research, because it's not going to put that on the label per se. But with processed food, they will always list additives, preservatives, any artificial ingredients. And you just want to always stay clear from that. It really stresses your liver. That's going to lead to great metabolic function over time if that's your predominant source of proteins.
Yeah. And I also think just in general that protein actually, out of the three macronutrients, I feel like protein gets the best rap from people. To your point, Ryan, people are always saying, eat more protein, eat more. And there's nothing wrong with eating protein, but if you eat too much protein, then your body will just get rid of it. It will just dispose of it. And some people can have other extenuating issues with that, but we're not doctors. We're not going to get into that. But it is something to be aware of, that you can, there's always too much of a good thing, regardless of what food it is, what macronutrient it is. Is there anything else, though, about protein that you guys want to make sure people know that we haven't covered?
You made a great point. It is energy dense, and it does provide 4 calories per gram, just like carbs. But its main job is not to provide energy for our body. And the only way we get into that area is if we're not giving our body enough energy from carbs. So it's actually really important to get more energy in from carbs, so our body doesn't use amino acids or muscle for energy. It doesn't want to. It needs to go for more structural support. And then to your point, you can overdo protein because it is energy dense, and it can be also stored as body fat if you're eating a large portion. So there's a lot of back and forth with that too, but we really want to look at that balance.
Yeah, I had some issues during my training where I didn't get enough carbs in, and that was fun. There are things that you can find out that your body does when you do not eat enough carbs. So moving on to fat, Ryan, what exactly is a fat? What are there good and bad fats that we should look at as well?
Yeah, there's definitely things that are of higher preference for sure. But looking at fats, just in general, lipids, these, much like proteins, are vital for a lot of functions. It's not that carbs aren't vital for functions, but protein and then here fats, they have high responsibility. So the things that these macronutrients uphold are incredibly vital to just our health and being. Energy storage, cell structure, again, with hormone production, testosterone, estrogen are that are directly correlated to our lipid intake. So some of these fats are actually essential that we have to get from our diet. So being conscious and intentional with our fat consumption can lead to a direct increase in our well-being. Another thing I think that's important to quickly introduce fats is vitamin and nutrient absorption. So a lot of these can actually help you get the best out of your daily food just by choosing the correct fat that you have in front of you. Fats are, I think, overlooked, underrated as far as how they can help us in anything we're trying to do with our nutrition.
Yeah, I do think out of the three macronutrients, fat gets the worst rap. I think that there's a lot of direction to cut it completely out of your diet. But like you said, there's a lot of good reason to have it. Is not only do you need it for some of those hormone things, are there any other reasons that people should make sure that they're eating fat? Ken, did Brian cover everything, or is there anything else we need to think about?
Yeah, there's lots of different types of fats. We want to see a nice balance in your day. There's omega-6s. There are omega-9s, omega-6s, omega-3s. Omega-6s are the ones that are getting a bad rap right now. And there is a good reason. They're very inflammatory. So we don't really want to have too many in our diet, which is like vegetable oils and seed oils. So on the healthy versus unhealthy side, looking at the quality of the oil, what it provides, that nutrient package, like I've been meaning to say for everything. But basically looking at that quality, what is the function of those types of? Each type has a little bit of a different structural function in the body. We listed a bunch of different things that fats can do. And so like omega-3s, we look at those as our anti-inflammatory fats. So like avocados, nuts, seeds, fish, we want to look at the balance in our day, in our week, of what proportion of omega-3s we're getting to omega-6s, and then looking at some of those really unhealthy fats like trans fat to make sure that those are on the minimal side as well. So there's just, with each type of fat, we want to look at the day, see, okay, what's our ratio for a day, what's included at each meal and snack, and making sure we are not eliminating it altogether.
And I know people used to talk a lot about saturated versus unsaturated fat. Is there still a good or a bad with those as well?
Yeah, they're both wonderful. I think that's the first thing noting. They're both incredibly useful. Saturated fats for a long period of time. People look at them different, right? Because you have individuals that maybe lean towards ketogenic lifestyles would incorporate more saturated and unsaturated fats. But saturated fats for a long time were really seen as aiding things like cardiovascular health risks. More studies show that may not be the case, but really, if we're balanced here with saturated fats, things that come from more of your animal products, unsaturated fats with things that are more on the side of nuts, healthy oils, avocados, things like that, really helpful. Saturated and unsaturated, if you're using variety even within the day, will definitely bring a lot of great balance.
Yeah, and those are from animal, just to be clear, like that's animal-based product. You'll get those from, and then you're going to get a lot of your unsaturated fats from plant-based.
Okay.
Yes. Easy way to discount both of them.
Perfect. And they're both good. I balance again, like you said, make sure we're getting a good balance. If you're eating animal products as well, you want to balance them out with a plant-based, right?
And I also remember you saying, Kim, that carbs and proteins were both 4 calories per gram. And it's different for fat, right?
Yes, this is also why they get a bad rap, because we think, oh, they're very energy dense. They're 9 calories per gram. And the word fat just sounds like fat. And so it's not, though. I always like to say dietary fat when I'm referring to it, because it has a better connotation to it.
Yeah.
So I'll usually refer to it as dietary fat always. And make sure my clients know it is super essential. We need it for at every meal and snack. Like Ryan said, nutrient absorption, it's huge for that. But it also provides the satiety, flavor, and that we need. And so when we are missing out on it, our body is going to have a hard time producing those hormones, absorbing nutrients. So it does get a bad rap, because it's just, that sounds, it's energy dense. And so we just really need to pay attention to it, because it's either going to be, a lot of times I see it's missed altogether, because it's just, it's a fearful thing. And when you're paying attention to the right type, you'll feel better. You'll notice a lot of benefits from that.
Something I hear a lot as a coach, and I'm curious if you guys do too, is people are afraid to eat a lot of butter, nut butter. They're always afraid that, oh, I've been having a lot of peanut butter, and I feel like that's really bad. But the natural peanut butter is actually really good. Is there anything that people should be concerned about, quote unquote, having too much of that?
Always. Yeah. Always. A thing. You can do it with any macronutrient. You can do it with any food. It is energy dense. And we just have to keep it in a good balance, no matter what the source is, right? But it's really easy to overdo unhealthy fat, because they don't have the nutritional benefits. So looking at almond butter, that is a better choice, because there is some protein there, right? Tiny bit of fiber maybe, but you're getting the protein, and protein helps with satiety. And when you're looking at unhealthy fats, that maybe is just butter. And ideally that's good, but we don't want that to be your fat source for the whole day. We want it balanced, because that's not going to give you that same benefit. The time is looking at that full pan. Do you want carbs, fats, and protein at every meal and snack? And that's what we do. And there's reasons for that, because then you will feel that satiety, help with blood sugar regulation, all of the big picture items there. But looking at almond butter, it's a good choice, because there's a lot of nutrients there.
Yeah. Anything that you want to add to that, Ryan, or anything that we missed within fat?
No, I think for me as a coach, what I see with fats is, if we're looking at, it's easy for majority of individuals to get animal source saturated fats, eggs, beef, for like probably the top two, and how it's a majority of Americans diets. But being intentional with plant-based fats, I think it really, I would encourage everybody to reflect on where that's at for you, because those unsaturated fats are incredible in brain health and your energy and keeping you full and satisfied. Things like really good high quality olive oil, avocados, walnuts. Those are probably just personally for me, like my top four things that you would have to be intentional about using. And so just with fats, get intentional, because it really just brings a different level of health to your daily eating.
Yeah. I feel like going back to the beginning where we talked, these are all nuanced. These are all going to depend on what your needs are, but it is important to get all three. We are not collectively fans of getting rid of any kind of macronutrient. We all think that you should have all of them to be healthy and a well-balanced diet. And on that note about any of the macronutrients, is there anything that either of you guys would like to add?
I think just to put a bow on it, looking at these macronutrients, it can be overwhelming. But I know something we all talk about as coaches is just utilizing all three of them every time you eat. If you consider that in starting the day and then even in your snacks, really trying to have all your macronutrients, it's going to help you turn the corner on just feeling full, controlling your blood sugar, and even have the ability to make better food choices throughout the day.
That's a good point.
Agreed. Your body will regulate itself better. And it just always depends on what your goals are. Right? So are you training? Are you trying to lose weight? And that's going to change those ratios of what we're doing. So it's like, want carbs, fats, and protein, but we want it to facilitate what you're doing as well. And so there are ranges to that. And that's where we come in. We put those ranges for you. But it can be overwhelming when you don't know those ranges, right? So that is the hard part, is figuring out, okay, what's working for me? What do I need? Where should these grams be for each?
Yeah, excellent point. I really appreciate both of you being here today, and thank you for your time. Listeners, that's all for this week. You can find all the MetPro Method episodes anywhere you get podcasts, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other listeners know what they can expect from the show. You can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I'll be back in a couple weeks with another episode. Until then, remember, consistency is key.